Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona is facing mounting pressure over her refusal to change filibuster rules to pass legislation on voting rights. Emily's List, an influential political action committee that funds female candidates who support abortion rights, is threatening to stop donating to Sinema's campaigns. Sonia Diaz is a civil rights attorney and the founding director of the UCLA Latino Policy and Politics Initiative, and she's one of many trying to persuade Sinema to change course. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So, Sonia, you recently wrote an op-ed urging Senator Sinema to stand up for voting rights on behalf of residents in her home state of Arizona. Why is Arizona of such concern to you?
Arizona provides a really important framework for Senator Sinema's refusal to get rid of the filibuster and pass two common sense voting rights pieces of legislation in the Senate. And that's to say that Arizona is ground zero for the fight for access to the ballot. One of the things that I think is really interesting about Arizona is one of the states that in the original inception of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was not a covered jurisdiction. But their actions after the passage of that act in Congress made it so that they, after being a covered jurisdiction, had to ask permission from the U.S. Department of Justice or a federal judge every single time they tried to make a change to voting. And time again, Arizona has been in law books and case books because of their very creative attempts to restrict access to the ballot box, and today is no different.
Do you expect pressure from the likes of Emily's List and others criticizing Sinema to have an impact?
Well, I think this is really important. Both Emily's List and Narrow Pro-Choice essentially said that if senators would not support common sense voting rights legislation, then they would withdraw support. What I think this is important to think about is the way that women's organizations, particularly those led historically by white women, are now crossing over to see civil rights as a vantage point. And this is really clear when it comes to voting rights. And these voter suppression bills that are happening in places like Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and the like are really targeting voters of color and their preferences. And so that threatens the sanctity of the Supreme Court, decisions over reproductive rights, and then also the future of healthcare, vaccines, and you name it.
You've characterized Arizona as ground zero, and you've testified before Congress that efforts to restrict voting rights have a disproportionate impact on racial and ethnic minorities. If this federal voting rights legislation does not pass, you've alluded to some of the consequences, but what will the consequences be from your view?
It's things that we've already seen, which is that there's both going to be a lack of political voice that is equal and inscribed in our Constitution, but also ways that people are not able to elect their candidate of choice. So as we're talking right now, Tanya, we're still in the redistricting cycle. The first redistricting cycle to occur in the modern era without Section 5 protection of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And so we already see places like Illinois and Texas in the news because of vote dilution against Latino voters or Black voters. To the extent that we do not pass common sense legislation, we're going to silence the voices that are so critical to this era that we're in, which is intersecting crises of a global pandemic, climate, income inequality. Voters of color are younger than non-Hispanic white voters, and they lean Democrat. And so when we think about silencing them, then we're going to continue to have policy preferences that are dictated by an aging white electorate instead of all Americans.
You're the founding director of the UCLA Latino Policy and Politics Initiative. As you know, there have been many think pieces and discussions about how Latino voters are critical to the Democrats' success in 2024. What do we need to understand about Latino voters? It's not a monolithic voting bloc.
No, but it's a voting bloc that continues to be invisible and disposable. And so some of our research at UCLA Latino Policy and Politics Initiative has made clear that Latinos are critical to swinging elections. In our 2020 research, we found that in many states, including Arizona, Latino voters at a 3-to-1 rate supported President Biden. In 2021, when the Republicans were really trying to use a ballot initiative process in California to recall Governor Gavin Newsom, it was Latinos, again, 3-1, rejected the recall. And what's important to note here is that this is happening without a lot of investment or targeted messaging by the part of campaigns or political candidates. And so Latinos are driven by issues and what's at stake, and there's still so much to be gleaned if they were actually included in policy debates and in agendas, which unfortunately has not occurred.
Well, with this in mind, what work needs to be done on the state level from your view? Just in the last year, at least 19 states have passed laws restricting access to voting.
Well, given that we're in a deadlock in the U.S. Congress over this issue, states are going to continue to play a key critical role. And it's the very states that are either battleground, where Republican control is slipping, or there's a growth of communities of color and voters of color in particular, that these ideas around suppressive voting bills are emerging. And so the only path forward here is to think about how do we ensure that people have fidelity in the election, that they're being outreached, that they understand the rules as ever-changing as they may be in places like Georgia and Arizona, but that they are empowered because they know what's at stake to cast that ballot. And that just means that the election financing and tactics are going to have to consider voter suppression and voter disinformation every step of the way.
Sonia Diaz is a civil rights attorney and founding director of the UCLA Latino Policy and Politics Initiative. Sonia, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Tanya. Take good care.